what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Why are so many people sailing at half mast these days, and worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long, they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition. It's a condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. And unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. We have an incredible show for you today. It's a long overdue. We're going to be talking about children's health. And kids are not only growing up faster than ever, they're also obviously growing out faster. Childhood obesity is reaching epidemic proportions in many developed and underdeveloped countries. Kids are taking their parents' lead and putting on the pounds of fat at an astonishing rate, and they're likely to keep those pounds, unfortunately, for a lifetime. Obese teens have a greater than 50% chance of becoming obese adults. If they have an obese parent, well, the odds climb to 80%. And statistics show that well over 30% of our children carry unhealthy levels of body fat on their frames, and at least one in five is clinically and chronically obese. And the concerns, let's face it, are far from cosmetic. The health of millions of kids is at stake here. We know that excess body fat plays a huge role in the development of diseases like type 2 diabetes, which, by the way, used to be called adult onset diabetes because only adults suffered with it. But today, there's an emerging epidemic of type 2 diabetes in youngsters. Aside from the obvious health problems associated with excess fat on our youngsters' frames, there are many self-esteem issues to deal with. Everywhere kids turn these days, they're inundated by images of their teenage idols with the so-called perfect bodies. Sometimes their genes just don't want to play along. There was a study that was published in the journal Pediatrics that looked at 3,561 United States children aged 8 to 16, and here's what the researchers found. They found that overweight youngsters were 3 to 5 times more likely to have excess inflammation than their normal weight counterparts. Studies like this may also explain why overweight children run a higher risk of heart disease and diabetes in adulthood, no matter what their adult weight is. Very, very scary statistics. The question today is, how healthy, or for that matter, how sick is your child? Is your child constantly experiencing colds and infections? Or is this just something that you don't really hear about too often? Or is it something you do expect around your house all the time? Is your child a few pounds overweight? Or is your child chronically obese? Are you frustrated by the lack of help when it comes to getting your child to eat better? Or do you even know where to begin on this subject? Don't worry, we'll be covering this topic today for the next hour here on Transforming Health, and you will get the answers that you've been waiting for. So let's get to it. Today's guests happen to be a husband and wife team who became more and more frustrated by the lack of a healthy, smart, and a cool role model for their 5 and 6-year-old children. So guess what? they decided to create their own. They combined their experience in exercise physiology and teaching, and they teamed up with a renowned alternative family physician by the name of Dr. Joel Furman, and they created the very successful Mitch Spinach Children's Book Series. Here to discuss how to help your children overcome weight problems, chronic colds, ear infections, and other nutrition-related problems are the co-authors of The Secret Life of Mitch Spinach. We have Jeff Hillenbrand and Hillary Ferrick with us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having us. We're looking forward to talking with everyone today.
Well, I mentioned, this is a subject that is long overdue on Transforming Health. I think I've covered almost every single topic on the show, but we've had so many call-ins, and we've had so many emails and people that have requested this to me personally on Facebook. So I want to get into this. I want people to come away with real solutions today. I don't want to just talk about the problems. The problems are out there, and we do need to discuss them somewhat, but we really need the people to come away with things that they can apply to their children's lives and also, obviously, to their own lives. So what really was the inspiration for this creation of Mitch Spinach, and what exactly is Mitch Spinach?
Well, as you mentioned, my background is in exercise physiology and nutrition, and I've been working with children and adults for years in both a private and corporate setting. And I've always made obviously working with people trying to, I've had to stay up to date with the latest scientific research in health and fitness. And just as a couple, Hillary and I have always tried to apply the latest and newest information to make sure that we were as healthy as possible in exercise and in our diet. So that meant, obviously, as new information came out, we would try to avoid the trans fats or the processed foods or the other added artificial flavors and preservatives and chemicals that continually get added into these foods. And we just really wanted to do our best to make sure that we did this not only for our clients, for ourselves, but as you know, everything changes, like everyone says, when you have children. Now we have this new responsibility of, oh my goodness, yeah, it was important. We tried to be healthy, and it was my job to do it for other people. But oh my God, it's now your child. They're this tiny little person. You want to make sure that you give them the best of everything, the best schools, the best toys, the best educational opportunities, everything that you want to do, you want the best for them.
Well, so you're talking about this tiny little person that I think we forget is 100% dependent on what we do for them.
That's
exactly
right.
Right. We're responsible for them in every way.
Right. So obviously, having this background in exercise and fitness and nutrition, we obviously wanted to make sure we were giving them, our child, our daughter, the best right from the get-go. So, of course, breastfeeding was very important. I had taken many courses on infant and maternal nutrition, so Hillary's diet was rich in fruits and vegetables and all these foods with phytochemicals and antioxidants that we wanted to pass on this great immunity through the breast milk to our daughter. And then...
And Jeff, sorry to interject. I just want to make sure it was Hillary that did the breastfeeding, correct?
Yeah. Yes, it was kind of sad. I always wanted to do something, but yes.
He tried, but it didn't work. But he told me long ago in college when he did all this studying about maternal nutrition, too, that if we ever get married and have kids, you will breastfeed those children. I'm just telling you now.
Right,
but that's not a threat, just so you know.
Right, exactly. But a hairy chest, is not really appealing to an infant. So, yeah. So, we started from the get-go, and then as they started eating solids, we were introducing, our daughter's first food was avocado, and in fact, to this day, that's still one of her favorite foods. She loves, actually, her one-year-old party, she had, she requested a Mexican party because she wanted to have guacamole, because that was
awesome.
Her favorite food, yeah. So we were really careful and made sure that she was eating all these great fruits and vegetables, but it was surprising because when we would go to the park or we would go to story hour at the library, we would run into all these parents and all these other kids that were giving their kids all these all the snacks, junk foods, and processed foods, and you would see these kids with these just amazing runny noses, and the
right.
parents would tell us, "Oh yes, this is their third round of antibiotics that they had given their child," and or this parent would say, "We just had tubes put in their ears because they've had so many ear infections that the mucus that's collecting there isn't draining anymore out of their ears, so they had to surgically implant tubes." So we saw all these chronic things going on with other kids, just a lowered immune system that our child and our children now, they just didn't experience. They would get a little sniffle here and there that they would shake off in 24 hours, but they never needed antibiotics. They never needed prescription or over-the-counter drugs. They were healthy all the time.
Right. They weren't chronically ill like so many kids are these days. Tell the audience, what made you come up with this character of Mitch Spinach? Like, how did you come up with that character as opposed to, Mitch Cucumber or a girl? I mean, what was that all about?
Well, I did come up with, when our daughter started kindergarten, we really were really bombarded with this junk food fest that was going on in school and the unhealthy diet of the corn dogs and the pepperoni pizza and the hot dogs and the schools also adding with the junk food. And we said, God, we have to do something to get kids to want to eat fruits and vegetables.
And a lot of kids hadn't even seen or heard of many of the fruits and vegetables that we sent Shannon to school with, of course.
Sure.
We packed her lunches and they hadn't heard of them. And so we were trying to come up with a really fun way to appeal to kids. And, of course, it still has to be a way that people find accessible. You can't come up with a vegetable that no one's ever heard of and
of
make
course.
A character out of it. So spinach is a rather familiar vegetable that a lot of us remember from our childhood, too. And people always say to us, oh, he's like modern-day Popeye.
There you go.
He is.
There you go.
So.
That's a way to get children to eat these foods, isn't it? I mean, by associating it with something that they want. I mean, every boy out there wants to be big and strong when he grows up. All the girls want to be princesses. And so I can see where you would have this kind of a role model. But, it's sad and it's funny in the same sense because it's almost like here are your kids. They're coming to school with something completely different, which is called a fruit and a vegetable. And it's almost like they can go to show and tell and say, I'd like to show you something you've never seen before. This is a vegetable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really.
I mean, they're actually, our kids are some of our biggest promoters, of course, because they're empowered completely by information. They feel
right.
like they know why these foods are good for you, and they're ready to tell the world. They're ready to tell all their friends that you really shouldn't eat that. It's really not very good for you. This is really good for you.
How are kids embracing this character, this Mitch Spinach character? Because you've written more than one book, correct?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay,
the second
so what,
is
what are,
in layout
what are kids
form
saying
right
about
now.
It?
Pardon? I didn't hear the question.
What are kids saying about this Mitch Spinach character?
Well, it's great because when the kids read the story it was somewhat difficult to write because we wanted it to be sort of subliminal. We wanted it to, when the kids read this story or a parent reads to them, it's a cool character that's smart, he's fast, he's strong. He's got superpowers. He's got supersonic hearing. He could see in the dark because of the carrots that he eats, all these different cool foods that are introduced. And then he's called on by his principal, Principal Lycopene, who asks Mitch Spinach, because he has these great abilities, to help him solve different mysteries at Sunchoke Elementary, at the school that they go to. So we subliminally introduced these different food names and foods that Mitch Spinach eats, and to the kids reading it, all they see is superpowers. They see, wow, this character is so cool. He's got this NutriPack backpack that he custom made with 14 different compartments that houses his different organic fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and powders. And he has his battery-powered blender that he whips out of his NutriPack backpack, and whizzes up in the first story a super smoothie while all the other kids look on in amazement.
Okay, wow. Jeff, let's hold it there. We're going to go to our first break, and then we'll come back with that. I want to talk about some of these shake recipes because as a nutritional researcher, I also have my own line of products, and I'm a huge proponent of natural, healthy shakes, especially for children, starting them off as early as possible. And, Jeff, I actually think that you are Mitch Spinach, but that's just my perception.
Some people have said that.
We're going to be back after these messages.
Okay.
All right.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way. With celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages, Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back to the show. If you have a significantly overweight or obese child, or if you are obese and are worried that your kids will follow suit, remember that the same conditions and the same solutions apply to both adults and children. The right foods, physical activity, and recuperation are the keys to solving the problem of unhealthy kids. But kids are kids, and they need your know-how and your good example to help them make the right choices, which means they may need some strong encouragement from time to time just to keep them on track. Nevertheless, as a parent, your main responsibility for helping your kids get on the right path lies in your ability to set a prime example. Here to discuss how to help your children overcome weight problems, chronic colds, ear infections, and other nutrition-related problems, the co-authors of The Secret Life of Mitch Spinach, Jeff Hillenbrand and his wife, Hillary Ferrick. Now, you know, it's not fair to the listening audience right now, guys, because, you know, I was asking you questions off the air because I'm, you know, equally as enthralled with what you guys have done and how you've gotten so many children to follow this new path. So we almost have these two little scenarios going on where I'm interviewing you here for the audience and then I'm asking you questions that I want to know as well. And, you know, I'm saying, oh, geez, we should save that for the air. So my question to you is, I know you put a lot of thought into this character who is a role model to other children, but How difficult is it? Like, what do you hear from your own children when you were first coming up with this character? Here they are, they're going to school, they have their fruits and their vegetables and these, you know, healthy sandwiches and maybe these little shakes that you've put together for them. They're opening them up at recess or at lunch, and kids next to them are eating French fries and hamburgers and cupcakes and cookies. And, you know, kids are kids, as I mentioned in the opening, so, you know, aren't they going to want to try some of that food? How do you instill in them that that is really not the food for them and they have to continue on this healthier path?
Well, we don't completely deprive them of any sweets or any treats like that at any time. I mean, we do make them healthier versions of those treats so that
right.
we feel, at least at home, they can eat this cupcake, which, you know, is loaded with banana to sweeten it, so that they can feel like they had a cupcake. They know what that is.
Ice cream made with cashews. and you know, just a little bit of cocoa.
Yeah, we make a great chocolate pudding in the Vitamix with cocoa and avocado, and it's delicious, and dates, so you don't even need a sweetener.
Right.
So they've had those things, so we made a point to do that so that they wouldn't feel deprived. And it is hard for them. I mean, they're in kindergarten and first grade, and kids next to them at the lunch table are often saying things to them. But then as the year goes on, they get to know the child, and they get to know that they're pretty strong kids, actually. And the reason they're strong about their eating habits is that we've educated them. We haven't
sure.
just told them, you can't eat that, you can eat this. This is bad for you. This is good for you. We've explained to them how food influences your health. And so they've known that from day one.
Why do we have so many picky kids? Let me use my nephew as an example. You know, I have two nephews. They're very healthy kids. They're fantastic in sports. They're big kids for their age. But one of them is probably the pickiest eater you could ever imagine. I put these incredible chocolate, natural cocoa-flavored whey protein shakes together, and he loves them, but he doesn't know they're good for him.
Right.
Why are there so many picky children out there? Is it our fault that they're that picky?
I think it is.
Right.
I do.
Yeah, I think, you know, that parents, they rationalize and they make a lot of excuses, and there's no doubt that children, their taste buds are developing, their bodies are growing, and it's very possible and likely that they're not going to love everything, all fruits or vegetables or beans or nuts or all these great foods right off the bat. The science shows that it can take 8 to 15 exposures of a certain food before a child likes it.
So it's like advertising.
You have to tell them a couple of times, introduce it to them a couple of times.
And in different ways. That's also just one of the many tips parents need to walk away with, understanding that you can't just give up. If you prepared mushrooms this way and your child said, oh, I didn't like it, it doesn't mean they hate all mushrooms and they'll never eat mushrooms again. Prepare it in a different way, or
right.
chop it a certain way, or cut it out in a cute little Mickey Mouse shape, or, you know, just got to be creative, and you have to give repeated exposure, and you have to keep trying, and eventually they will like it. The other thing that happens is that parents will often make the healthy dish for themselves, and their kids say, I don't like that, and then they'll make a preparation of something else very quick, or they'll pop in the chicken fingers and give them that out. Well, once kids know that there's an out, well, they're not going to eat the
right.
healthy choice, because they know if they complain and they say, I don't want that, mom or dad is going to heat up the chicken fingers. So,
and they're allowed to eat that on the kids' menus in every
sure.
restaurant. That's what's on the menu, and that's what's at school. And if that's also what's at home, that those are the only five foods that they're exposed to.
So it's a habit. It's a habit that we need to break. I get that. People get that. So here's a bit of a tough question for you, and I'm sure this has come up numerous times. I understand, obviously, the earlier you introduce these types of foods, the better it's going to be for the learning capabilities of the children. However, if we're dealing with a child that has not learned to eat these type of foods, let's use my nephew again as an example, where, you know, he loves things like pasta, but he won't have any vegetables or anything else. How do you deal with a child like that, that is already, it's ingrained in him to be that picky, and he doesn't want to know anything about anything that would otherwise be healthy? How do you start to introduce that into that type of a child's life?
You know, there's so many answers, and we could go on just that one question about different solutions, but I think parents should understand, too. It's like we know that smoking cigarettes is very bad for you. And our children are educated now in school, and our parents educate our children that, you know, if you smoke cigarettes, there are very serious health consequences. And, you know, using drugs or alcohol, these are things that you really need to avoid. And we tell our kids this because we believe these are very dangerous and toxic substances. Yet the World Health Organization recently came out with a statement saying that more people today die from eating processed foods and junk foods than smoking cigarettes and illegal drugs combined.
Absolutely.
And
alcoholism.
Let our kids sit around the
and alcoholism.
And alcohol.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't let our kids do that because we know in our hearts and our heads, and the science tells us that that's dangerous, but somehow we falter on being strong to not make our kids eat these things. Now, yes, we want to make it fun. Yes, we can be creative. Yes, there's different ways to prepare the foods. Reverse psychology. Don't eat that spinach or don't have that kale because you're going to become stronger and faster than daddy. I don't want that to happen. Yeah, we can use all those fun things. But we would never put our child in the car without a seatbelt because we know that's that dangerous. Well, if parents understand how dangerous it is to feed their kids food that's devoid of nutrients, that is not full of fruits and vegetables,
right,
then, you know, then they have to be strong. You know what? You don't want to eat that. It's okay. That's fine. Then maybe at dinner you'll be hungry to eat it. And if you don't want it at dinner, it's okay.
Yeah,
maybe at breakfast you'll be hungry. But eventually kids' natural hunger will get them to eat foods that are available to them. And if
right.
you only have healthy foods in the house that are available to them,
but
then they
the
won't
key.
Have a choice to eat anything else.
Jeff, that's the key, to lead by example. I've often said that, you know, the processed food industry, literally the government should come in and now make it so that the standard should be on donut boxes and candy bar wrappers. There are the same things that are found on cigarette boxes, like graphic pictures of cholesterol, mm-hmm. clogged arteries, insulin syringes, malignant tumors, because right. that's what these things do. But here's the thing. You're saying that, you know, parents have a hard time, you know, teaching children how to do that. Why is that? Is it because they're not willing to give up the food themselves? It's like having a parent smoke a cigarette with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, and, you know, with one hand pointing at their children and giving them, you know, telling them off for smoking themselves. It doesn't make sense.
No, you have to permit only healthy foods in your house, and if you do that, then the entire family will learn to eat properly. You can't.
Right.
Tell your children to eat broccoli while you're sitting there eating French fries. You have to
Absolutely.
Show them how to do it by doing it yourself. It is a commitment that the entire family needs to be involved in. And as Jeff was saying, if the food that's being served is the only option, and you can make a number of choices within those options, you can have a number of different vegetables being served so that they feel that they maintain some feeling of autonomy, because a lot about food goes back to a power struggle with kids. But you should never really make them a separate meal and say, okay, well, I'll just take out the macaroni and cheese for you since you're not eating this asparagus. It's not an option. And there shouldn't be any macaroni and cheese in your cabinet. And if
Right.
there isn't, there's no option. You know, you go to the supermarket. You're the one who makes the money to buy the food, not them. So you make the decisions. But it is difficult because you're up against that kid who says, you know, I'm not going to eat anything. And then you say, well, she'll only eat chicken fingers. But really,
sure.
that is an excuse because you're the one who buys the chicken
but
fingers.
But we're also, the ones responsible for enforcing that behavior, because it is a behavior. Mm-hmm. It's a learned behavior. It can be broken. But, you know, I'll use myself as an example. When I was a child and I would go and, let's say, play hockey and I would win at hockey, my father would reward me by taking me to a place like McDonald's. And I started to associate that with, wow, I did really good, and McDonald's is a positive experience for me. Not only does it taste good for me as a kid, but my dad's proud of me, and I'm eating McDonald's. So that's a learned behavior. To this day, I can pass by McDonald's. I haven't touched McDonald's in probably 30 years, but there's still a part of me that associates that with a little bit of happiness. It's no different than having Ronald McDonald as, you know, as that inspiration in so many children's lives. So we've got to break these really, really powerful habits that children that are becoming ingrained within these children's lives, and we've got to find new ways in which to reward children.
Yes, and it's food is very emotional, as you said, and in the same way that you had a reward at McDonald's, obviously that you create good habits with rewards for something that's healthy, and it becomes just as powerful and just as positive. But like you said, our culture is really not getting on board, unfortunately. I mean, at our school with these fundraisers, I mean, we just got an email today from the school, hey, come in tomorrow for donuts with Dad. You know, so at 7:30 in the morning, we're going to have a jelly donut.
Wow.
This is the way to start this, you know, the day.
In Shannon's class, they just won an award for doing reading an astronomical number of books, and they have been rewarded with a donut party.
Wow. So and you're kind of a bad dad because you're not going to be eating donuts with your child.
Right. And then you can't participate. And so, you know, everyone collectively needs to get involved in their communities to make change in their environment where they're around. And little by little, it's amazing. It does happen. I mean, even playgroups and things like that, if the parents make commitments to say, we're not going to have any junk food at this get-together, we're all going to be responsible for some fruit or some vegetable, and that's what we're going to have, and no one is going to bring it. You know, these changes, you know, can happen. But, yeah.
And you're going to be sharing with us when we come back, you have, tips for parents on how to make that change, how to make that a reality, not just a possibility, a reality. We're going to be talking about that on the second half. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today, Jeff Hillenbrand and Hillary Farrick, the authors of the Mitch Spinach Children's Book Series. Here's the deal. Instead of giving children what they want, how about giving them what they need? More on this when we come back. Get your pens out. Get a pad of paper out. You are going to want to take notes. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network. Are you ready to get freed up? Join Dr. Jennifer Fried, one of America's leading psychological thinkers, for a groundbreaking program with fascinating guests and full participation from you. Freed Up will explore topics like liberation in long-term relationships, parenting in the 21st century, comfort in stressful times, and much more. Tune in to Freed Up every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and wake up to the heartbeat of your life.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health. We're talking about children's health, what you can do today to help your child lead a much healthier, happier, leaner life. You know, here's the thing, nothing's cuter than a toddler being fed. You know, the innocence of that toddler's face completely covered in whatever food you're trying to feed him or her. I mean, sometimes it can be priceless. But the number of parents who think it's just as adorable to see their children eat anything and everything that's placed before them really never ceases to amaze me. I've cringed too many times while countless parents have fed their kids pizza, cookies, cake, chocolate, and whatever else they could find to make their children giggle in processed carb heaven. When are we going to learn that it's up to us to teach our children the right and wrong way to eat? But believe it or not, the parental influence actually begins even before the baby is born. As I wrote in my best-selling book, Fat Wars, the seeds for obesity can actually be sown in the womb. Fat cells can divide during the third trimester of pregnancy and have been shown to be very susceptible to increased insulin levels. Too much of the wrong carbohydrates during gestation can cause insulin to be secreted in response to the sugars in the bloodstream. Studies have actually been done on mothers' blood sugar levels and the effect of elevated levels of glucose on gestating fetuses. These fetuses whose mother's blood sugar had the highest readings became markedly obese children by 6 years of age. Now, this had nothing to do with the mother's weight during pregnancy. So, in other words, pregnant women should be very careful with the types and the amounts of sugar foods that they consume, not only for their own sake, but also for the sake of their children's health in the future. Today's guests happen to be a husband and wife team who became more and more frustrated by the lack of a healthy, smart, cool role model for their 5 and 6 year old children. So they created their own. They combined their experience in exercise physiology and teaching, and they teamed up with a renowned alternative family physician, Dr. Joel Furman, and they created the Mitch Spinach Children's Book Series. Here to discuss how to help your children overcome all sorts of problems from weight, excess weight gain, chronic colds, ear infections, and other nutrition-related problems. Once again, the co-authors of The Secret Life of Mitch Spinach, Jeff Hillenbrand and Hillary Farrick. So welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health. Having a great conversation with you guys. I love the energy. I love the examples that you're leading out there. I just hope, you know, more and more people are drawn towards that. They see your children that are, you know, healthy for the most part and love what they're doing. And I hope they try to emulate a little bit of that to become a little more like what you're doing for your children, because that's what we need. We've got to change the health of our generation, because we've got a very big problem right now, as you know. We've got the obesity epidemic. We never used to see as many obese children as we're seeing now. I mean, I remember when I was going to elementary school, you know, when you saw a truly obese kid walking around, it was like everybody turned their heads. They looked. It was like, wow, look at that person. And yes, they were very mean for the most part to these children. But the point is, it wasn't like you see today where, you know, when you see a lean child, that's almost not the norm anymore. Where do you think we went wrong?
Yeah, you know, it's scary. You know, the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, is stating that this generation growing up is the first generation of children that are likely to not outlive their parents.
Right.
I mean, that's really, really scary. These are scary statistics. I mean, it's costing our healthcare system $14 billion annually to deal with this childhood obesity and type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and ADD, and all the problems related to poor dietary habits of children, which is why, obviously, Michelle Obama has gotten involved with her Let's Move campaign. And it's become just a habit. And I think parents there's a little bit of neglect, really, that they just don't realize how serious it is that the food they're feeding their children can have a serious effect on their life. What you feed your child in the first 10 years of life will have a critical and profound effect on their lifelong health.
Sure. Sure, and that's when the brain development is occurring. I mean, the first 7 years are really the most important, but let's start right at the beginning. Let's start with, I want to get your opinion on the majority of the baby formula that's being fed to children out there. I know you mentioned, Hillary, that you were a very big advocate of breastfeeding, and you did that for your children, and Jeff, obviously, that was a make-it-or-break-it thing when you first met Hillary. But, you know, there is research, and I've pointed this out in quite a few of my obesity obesity books, but there's a very famous researcher by the name of Dr. Dewey and his colleagues at the University of California. They found that the longer a mother breastfeeds and delays the introduction of solid food, the better the protection against adult obesity. And according to their research, 95% of the obese had actually not been breastfed. I find that a very interesting statistic. So breastfed infants have been shown to be leaner than formula-fed infants at 1 year of age, and formula-fed infants were fatter because the carbohydrates are normally much higher in commercial baby formulas, which increases the energy intake and causes an increase in insulin. And it so happens that this early exposure to very high carbohydrate diets can actually predispose a child to becoming obese later on in life. So what's your take on, you know, what we're feeding our infants to begin with?
Well, definitely breast is best, for sure. And the thing that a lot of breastfeeding mothers run into in their doctor's offices is the growth charts that are actually based on formula-fed children.
Right.
And so they see that their children are not actually following the curve, and a lot of doctors are scaring mothers out of breastfeeding by saying, oh, your child is falling off the weight charts, you need to supplement with formula, you need to do this, that, or the other thing. It's really very scary, the information that is coming from the doctors about breastfeeding. I was fortunate enough to have midwives who educated me about breastfeeding, so I was lucky. But there are a lot of my friends and a lot of women out there who are really not getting the support that they need from the medical profession to breastfeed for a long period of time. A lot of doctors tell them to stop early, you should wean that child, it's, you know, he's breastfeeding too long. The medical profession really hasn't come around to understanding the importance of breastfeeding, even though they say it in their literature, but it hasn't trickled down to all of the doctors.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Hillary. And here's the interesting thing. You know, I get emails constantly from people that are wondering how to deal with their obese children. And these people are obese themselves for the most part, and they're writing in there, they're completely perplexed. You know, what do I do? How do I deal with this? My child is obese, and they're getting teased at school, and they're not in sports, they won't eat the right types of foods. And my reply is often, you know, very much the same. It's usually whatever applies to you as an adult is also going to apply to that smaller version of you, that mini me, which is your child. And I think people still don't understand that when we have too many of the wrong types of carbohydrates, and you know, for the most part, we're talking about processed carbs that really have no fiber, no seed, no germ, no hull. They're glorified forms of sugar in the body. The body can only handle so much sugar. And for children, if they're constantly eating these foods that break down into sugar too quickly, obviously they're overriding their body's ability to store that sugar for short-term energy. They're converting a lot of that into fat. So what do you say in your books to help people move away from the highly processed, high-carbohydrate types of diets?
Well, I think one thing you can do that would work for the entire family is to make food preparation a family affair. You can involve your children in selecting meals and snacks and fruits and vegetables, and the more that they are involved, the more they're willing to try healthy foods. So if you make a grocery trip with your child and you talk about the foods that you're going to be serving and how you might improve your diet together, and allow them to pick out the fruits and vegetables for the week, or even, depending upon the age of the child, you look up a recipe and say, Mom, I'd really like to make this on Wednesday. It can make a world of difference because they feel involved, they feel empowered, and they feel as if they have some control over their weight and over their lives.
And
right.
This is where Mid Spinach really comes in, too, the book series, because when the kids read the stories and they see, wow, Mitch Spinach gets these superpowers from the carrots or the mango or the kiwi or the flax seeds or all these natural plant foods or beans or nuts that are featured in this story, then they're asking their parents, can I have this? In fact, we had a parent who had contacted us and said, you know, we read this story, and at the end of the first book in The Secret Life of Mitch Spinach, the Mitch Spinach super smoothie that he makes in the story is featured at the end of the book, so they can make it.
That's great. That's great. And that's what you want to do. It has to be fun. The child has to look up to whatever that role model is. And I mean, you know, let's face it. This is how the industry started selling copious amounts of spinach going back, you know, to the 40s or 50s when, as you mentioned at the beginning, where Popeye became this role model. That's how he got big and strong. He wasn't always big and strong, but when he needed to be, he ate his spinach. And every kid, including myself, would actually ask for spinach just because of Popeye.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So it just gets the kids excited. And as Hillary mentioned earlier, when they're asking the parents, hey, can I have this? Can you make this for me? It just makes it that much easier. And we really believe, too, that, and I think a lot of parents overlook this, that really educating and talking to a child, even when they're young, about the dangers and in foods, in certain foods, and the benefits of others, kids really grasp onto that. I think parents sell their children short.
Yeah.
You know, Hillary's father died a few years ago from cancer. And, you know, yes, we use that as a tool, as an example with our children. Say, well, you know, your grandpa, he didn't eat a lot of these foods. He ate these foods that were very dangerous, and he didn't eat a lot of these foods, and he didn't exercise a lot. So that's why it's so important. You want to be around a long time. You want to be healthy, and you don't want to have cancer. Well, these foods promote cancer, and these foods protect you against cancer. So you relate it to things in their life.
Sure.
You know, if they want to play a certain sport or do a certain activity, well, if you want to do that and you want to be good at it, then you need to eat these foods because they will enable you to be successful in that endeavor.
And that's what it's all about. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King, and we are talking to the co-authors of the Mitch Spinach Children's Book Series. When we come back, we're going to find out about some of these smoothies that they're talking about today. You know, what's a really good smoothie to actually make for your child? And I'll throw in maybe a recipe or two as well in there. We'll be right back for the final segment of Transforming Health.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com. to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the final segment of Transforming Health. If you haven't done so already, please go into Facebook and friend me at Transforming Health with Brad King so you can get all of these wonderful updates for all of the upcoming shows. I'll also post how you can get those shows and download them for absolutely free from iTunes for your iPod. And we give away a lot of free product on Transforming Health with Brad King as well. Today we're talking about children's health, and excess insulin and carbohydrate overindulgence in early childhood can affect our bodies later on in life. And one potential impact is the acceleration of the transition period between childhood and adulthood. There's been epidemiological research that has proven that the average age of puberty in women has dropped by about 4 to 6 years in the past 100 years. So look at this. A century ago, the average pubescent female was 17. Now our little girls are becoming women between the ages of 11 and 13. And early teen sexuality, not to mention the risk of early pregnancy, are obvious social results. Obesity is, of course, another. The precipitous reduction in the age of puberty closely corresponds to the major increase in the consumption of high-carbohydrate diets in the last century. Many parents complain that their children, especially girls, are growing up too quickly, but with the link between a high-carbohydrate processed diet and early puberty, well, obviously we now have another important piece to the sugar puzzle. And to discuss all of this, as well as other problems that so many children are experiencing, we have the co-authors of The Secret Life of Mitch Spinach, Jeff Hillenbrand, and Hilary Farrick with us today. I'm totally enjoying our conversation. And what I want to do is I want to go through the actual changes that parents can make starting today, right after the show ends in a few minutes. What can parents do? You have six tips for parents. They've got their pens. They've got their pads of paper. Tell us what those are.
Okay, well, some of them we've discussed a bit, so I'll go through them quickly. But we definitely need to educate our kids and ourselves, of course, about nutrition, and listening to this program is one way to educate ourselves.
And on our website, too, at MitchSpinach.com, there's lots of information that we've put together in conjunction with Dr. Joel Furman, giving you very, very important information, too specifically for parents, mm-hmm. that you can get about what is important supplement-wise as well as nutrition-wise, as well as all kinds of great healthy recipes that you can try.
Right, specifically for children, yes. Second, we should definitely make food preparation a family affair. We talked about that as well, about getting kids involved in what is being served for dinner, what is being bought at the supermarket, and the more power they have, the better they feel about their food choices.
Hilary, on that subject, just quickly, give the parents out there an example or two of a really healthy but a delicious shake recipe.
Well, every morning, yeah, go ahead, you can say.
No,
I mean, every morning our family has a nutritious green and smoothie, basically.
We change it every day.
Change it every day based on what's in season and even what's on sale,
right.
Which is fine at the supermarket in terms of frozen fruit and fresh fruit and vegetables.
So we basically pack it with a lot of greens. We'll put spinach or broccoli, kale, collards, and then we put something to offset the greens. We'll put mango or blueberries, which will turn the entire thing. It won't be a green smoothie anymore. If you want it to be purple and you put blue, you'll get blueberries and it'll be purple. You can add, if you want it to be green, you just put the greens and put the lighter fruits in it, or you can make it darker. But you can really pack anything in there. We put chia seeds and flax seeds as well. We sometimes put nuts and seeds. And we have a Vitamix, so it blends it all up beautifully.
Right.
And then we add, you know, a little bit of purified water or your choice of non-dairy milk. You know, if you'd like to use hemp milk or soy milk, unsweetened soy milk, something like that. And so every day our kids look forward to a different smoothie, and they participate in what's going to go in there every
morning.
Sure,
and I would prefer water as a medium, or as you said, you know, maybe hemp or almond milk. I'm not a very big proponent of soy. There's a lot of very negative research on soy right now. So, you know, until that research becomes more conclusive and is showing that it is healthier, especially for children, I would recommend that, you know, stay away from soy, especially if it's non-organic, because let's face it, the majority of soy is completely genetically modified nowadays, and that's an experiment in its own.
That's absolutely true. If you're going to use soy, it must be organic. But
yeah.
Almond milk and purified water is perfectly fine as well. The water, you know, you just need something to get it to mix. That's
sure.
all.
Sure. Okay, so number three.
Then we also have to remember that food preferences are formed by your environment, and that taste is something that we learn. And as Jeff had said before, it can take up to 8 to 15 times before a child accepts a food. So So what you expose your children to and what you offer them will actually make their food preferences. And those tastes are formed very, very early in life. So it's important to introduce your children to a variety of fruits and vegetables very early on.
Right. And Hillary, yes, they're formed early, but that can still be relearned, correct?
It can. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So number four.
If you have young children, you might as well start now. If you have older children, then you can start now, too.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, look, Mommy and Daddy have learned some new information. Mm-hmm. We're always learning, too, and we realize that some of the foods that we are eating are not the best. Mm-hmm. So we are making some changes in the household because we love you and we want to give you and all of the family the very best diet so that we all stay healthy and mm-hmm. we don't get sick. And that's okay, and children appreciate
yeah.
that.
And Jeff, I appreciate that, and I love you too. Number four,
don't make excuses.
Yeah.
You know, don't say my kid only eats chicken fingers. You know, they're not purchasing the chicken fingers or the French fries or the pepperoni pizza. So you have to realize that, you know, you can't give them other options. Don't make excuses. They will eat what you give them. So mm-hmm. just change what they're eating, and it may take the most 7 days, and their palate will change
right.
you know, that quickly.
So
and
7 days,
you're leading...
7 days without food isn't going to kill your kid.
Well, maybe one day
they
might be okay.
They
but...
will eat before that. They have survival
right.
instincts, and they will not starve themselves. Once
no,
they realize there are
you.
No
I
other options.
Yeah, and
I think the most
stubborn five.
Kid
I love
win a
number
day
five.
And a half.
And if you're leading by example, if you're permitting only healthy foods in your house, then there are no other options, and it will happen. It may be hard at the beginning, but you can you can change it and turn it around.
Okay. And one of the last points that we wanted to make that, you know, we have, because we're so committed to trying to make this change for families and for different communities across the country, we also started the Mitch Spinach fundraising program. So at any one school or any other nonprofit that they're involved with, we give back $5 to $6 for every Mitch Spinach book that would sell during a fundraiser period, so that you can get your school, your kid's school, or your nonprofit doing a healthy fundraiser instead of the chocolate bar, or candy bar,
yep.
or you know the typical fundraisers that they're doing. So this is a way to get kids excited about literacy and reading, and excited about fruits and vegetables, and still you know raise money for the school
and nonprofit. Make it a positive experience. And I was talking to you off the air about this, and I'm so glad that you brought up that last tip. And I think you know any parents out there. My sister-in-law is actually not just a parent, she's a teacher as well. So, you know, she deals with all of these things. And I think, you know, you've got to get all of the teachers on side to understand that there's a better way than going door-to-door and selling, like you said, cookies or chocolate, because you have no idea. Well, you have an idea, I'm sure, but you know we get knocks on the door probably what 3, 4, 5 times a year with little girls and little boys that are selling this garbage to raise money for whatever it is that they're raising. And I, you know, as I mentioned to you, I don't support that. I don't support buying cookies because I don't eat those things, and I don't want children to think that, you know, that's okay to raise money that way. But we do need other means in order to raise money for these events, and I think that's a great thing to do with the Mitch Spinach fundraiser.
Yeah, well, we try to do as much as we can to give back and try to, you know, create change, you know, through
yeah,
a positive,
them, yeah.
cool, healthy role model. So.
Well, great. Listen, my guests today have been Jeff Hillenbrand and Hillary Farrick. It's the Mitch Spinach Children's Book Series. Once again, guys, how can people get more information on what you do on the books and also on that incredible fundraiser?
Well, definitely go to MitchSpinach.com, just spelled out, and we have all the information about the fundraiser. We have lots of games that the kids can download, educational games about nutrition, really fun, a lot of information for the parents, and we have a fan club there that they can download 5 free gifts for the kids, so it's really, really great.
And when you purchase a book online at MitchSpinach.com, we will send you lots of interesting tips and fun recipes
Beautiful.
For kids.
Beautiful. So there you go, MitchSpinach.com. I'm a fan as well. So Jeff and Hillary, thank you so much for being my guests today on Transforming Health. And we're going to have you back. We're going to talk about a lot of other things with children's health. Go out there, have yourself, and help your child also have an absolutely incredible week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.